Good morning. Wow, what a wonderful day. You know, the days just change all the time, don't they? Start with a little bit of sun, like what Jeff was mentioning this morning, sun in our eyes, and then we get all these clouds moving in. But we got to pray that the Lord will hold the rain back, right, for us for a little while longer. So we just rejoice in his goodness, his love. But first of all, before we go on, I just want to say thank you to the church. We received your gifts last week, and we were really overwhelmed. We really didn't expect that. I didn't know what all that stuff was. So when they said, oh, this is yours, we're going, whoa. So we just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for your kindness, your generosity, welcoming us so warmly as a family. And after 173 boxes or things like that, we are pretty much finished of throwing things away and getting things set up in our house. The Lord blessed us Friday that we were able to sign the contract to own the house with the bank, of course. So I always have to mention that, don't I? I don't know why. That's just got to trust the Lord. One day he says it'll be ours. Trust. After 30 years. So just praise the Lord for his goodness. It is a miracle. You know, usually we came from a church that just used a lot of testimonies, and one day we'll probably do the same here as well. But a testimony is that, you know, God is alive. He's working. He it's not just in the Old Testament or in the days of Jesus or maybe some days that you heard in the past, but he's working now. You know, he's working now, and he's working powerfully in our lives. And you can just use us as a testimony, you know, bringing us from all over the place. I mean, and coming especially from Ohio and just, you know, selling a house and buying a house, it's tough. It's tough to do. It sounds like it's easy, but it's tough. And just the big move and the boys starting off in school and stuff like that, I mean, it's just God's grace and his mercy and his faithfulness, and just being with you, and to be a part of your family, and to be a part of what God is going to do here. Because I've been talking to people on the phone. I'm starting actually to get my head out of the clouds from all the boxes, and you are doing what Steve is saying. There's a lot of people out there that are really being a blessing to others, and I hear people in their jobs, they're just sharing just smiles. They're sharing the love of Christ through their work, their care, and their love for others. And other people are going an extra mile and sitting with people through the night and just praying for them and encouraging the family. All that, everything that we do in Christ's name is giving him glory. And you're a witness. You're a witness to him. And continue on in that. And we're going to see God do a mighty thing here. I really believe that as well, as other people have said. He is working. He doesn't stop working. We might, but God doesn't stop working at all. So he continues on, no matter if we're going to keep up with his pace or not. He'll find a way. So this morning, yeah, we're talking about shadows. You know, I don't know about you, but as a kid, I remember sitting in my room, and there'd be a light on, and there'd be a wall, and I just start making these funny emotions. But you look at the wall, it's just, you get to do some funny things, you know, the birds and cats and dogs, and some people get real creative and stuff, you know. So shadows, as I mentioned there in chapter 2 in Colossians, there's shadows that we have to deal with. Well, some shadows, you know, they can be kind of deceptive. I remember seeing, like, I still remember the Lord of the Rings. I guess I always have to refer to that. And one of the guys, I forget who, was coming down the stairs. I can't remember if it was Pippin or somebody. But these orcs were coming up, and they're going to get after him, right? And they saw this big shadow coming down, and they were just starting going, whoa, these are orcs, you know, they're pretty scary themselves, right? And so this shadow is this huge thing, look ugly, they were scared, and all of a sudden, like, here comes a little hobbit at them, you know? So, so, you know, shadows can be very deceptive as well. Have you ever been out at night, and there's kind of the rustling in the wind, you know, and kind of walking, and you start seeing things, and, you know, these shadows start taking, you know, becoming alive, and you're kind of going, what's that, you know, and then it's really nothing. And if you really try to grasp a shadow, you can't. There's nothing there. There's nothing to grasp. A shadow is made only by an object. When an object blocks the light, a shadow occurs. So there has to be something real there to make a shadow. So we'll be talking a little bit about that today in the second chapter of Colossians. And you have to, let me set you the scene. Here's these Christians, okay? I don't know how old the church is. They're probably fairly young Christians in Colossae. And they were being intimidated because they were being told, hey, guys, you're doing all right, but you know what? You're not doing good enough. You need more. To get more spiritual, you need more. Or even, are you saved? I mean, is Christ work? I don't know if it's good enough, but here's something to add to it. And these false teachings became they're the shadows that come into our lives, and the shadows that are coming in their lives, and they're feeling like, you know, they're trying to learn and continue on in their walk with Christ, and they're getting these teachings coming up and say, hey, you got to add a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and then you're going to be all right. And they're kind of going, whoa. You know, they're feeling pressured and to make these decisions, you know, how are they going to follow Christ? Well, they received this letter. I can just see this group, probably in a little house, and they're just together. And they're probably talking about, you know, what are they going to do? You know, maybe even some of those people amongst them are people who are trying to push them towards these other things to add to their walk with Christ. But they received this letter from Paul. And Paul's going, hold up, guys. These are shadows. These are shadows that you talk about. He's saying there's a fullness. The light of Christ, his word, is a perfect light that shines all around. When you shine all around the object, there's no shadow. You don't need anything else. And that's what they're receiving. So you can see the pressure they're going through and the decisions they have to make and people talking at them and trying to move them towards these other areas. And then they receive this letter and they're going, wow, all right, this is good. Because I don't know about you, but our society is filled with a lot of shadows, right? There's a lot of stuff coming at us today saying, oh, you can do this. This is all right. Or, oh, stop. Don't do that. You know, don't start talking about Jesus in the schools or your workplace and all these things. You know, it's just there's a lot of things coming at us that want us to move into the shadows and away from the reality, the truth that we have in Christ. And we're going to be talking about that more and more today. I don't know, I used to watch a lot more TV, especially when I was growing up. My boys, they don't even know how much TV. I used to be a junkie. You know, I used to watch all the shows. You can talk to me anytime you want, especially the 70s and 80s. I know all the shows. And, of course, in TV, you get ads, too. And I still remember this Coca-Cola ad saying this. It just says, the real thing. You know, you can't beat the real thing. You know, I still kind of, I don't want to sing because I don't want to hurt your ears, but it's kind of like, you know, it's the real thing. You know, I don't know if some people might remember those commercials, people jumping in with their Coke bottle in there, and it's the real thing, you know, it's going, wow, yeah. And then, of course, I started drinking Coke. Pepsi was communist, I think. That's something somebody said, but we won't get political on that. All right. So, you know, so today we're learning. We're learning about these shadows, but what's the important thing is for us to, as Christians, to seek the reality of Christ and stand firm in it so we don't get moved into these shadows, which is so easy today. So many people want us to move their direction because I think we were talking earlier this morning about people who say, I'm going to go to hell and I'm going to have a party. But they haven't read the Word of God and understand that hell isn't a good place to be in. You don't have a party there because you're separated and you're in the dark as dark. You can't even see anything, what I read. You don't want to be there. All right? But people want they want to take you along because they, you know, you want to have somebody come along with you. You don't want to walk alone too often. You know, you want somebody to come with you. So we need to be careful because there's people with wonderful arguments and great sounding words and just, you know, they even play with the Bible and they start going through the Bible and they pick certain things out, but they want to lead you into the shadows away from the reality of Christ. Let's pray before we go on. Father God, we come before you just rejoicing that we can be a part of your family. By your grace alone, Lord, we certainly did not choose it. You chose us. And what a blessing it is. What an honor. Lord, thank you that we can come together and worship you, to adore you, to praise you, to thank you for who you are. Bless this word. Open our hearts. Open our ears, our minds to learn the things that you want us to learn. Remind us of those things that we used to know. And challenge us in our walk with you to go forth, Lord, to honor your name in our daily lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Shadows. So when you look at shadows, again, they're deceptive. They're false teachings, different things. Trying to take us back in chapter 2, there's that verse there that starting in verse 8, it says, See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. There's a caution there. See, when you look at that part there that Steve was reading, and they're talking about, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, because in regard to religious festivals like the New Moon Festival, well, all those festivals, they're going by the Mosaic Law and the Levitical priests. And what they did, they were coming together to worship God. They were coming together as a nation, which was a good thing. And they were focusing upon God and worshiping him. It was a good thing. But it's the Old Testament. This is the past, all right? And these teachings, these people in the church and Colossae were trying to move them back to the past, you know, rather than being in the present with what Christ has already done. See, they're saying, you're doing pretty good, but you got to go back now. You got to go back to these rules that we used to follow. Because I don't know about you, but humans, we like rules. I like rules. When I have rules, I know what to do. You know, they give me a framework. And I still remember when I was getting out of high school, my two older brothers before me went into the Marines. You know, and it was just a thing to do. My dad was in the Army before that and a drill instructor, and he had the voice for it. I tell you, and so did I. But something scared me away. See, my brothers, you know, my special the middle one is a little bit wild, you know, and stuff. But for me, I was kind of one of those guys that just kind of flew under the radar. I just kind of like to do my own thing. So when I started thinking about it a little bit more, and I was going to have an appointment with the Marines and talk with them, I couldn't find where they were. I was driving, and I couldn't find out where their place was, so then I didn't go to the appointment. That was God, because I don't like rules that much. I mean, I like rules, but I don't like people controlling me, especially in boot camp and all that. I just would not have had a good time, and I don't know if I would have probably failed out or something like that. I'm not sure, but it was just, you know, those type of things. You know, the structure is there, but then sometimes when there's just too much, I fall. I just can't handle it anymore. So give me a few, but if you give me a huge list of rules, I start going, oh, my head. You know, I have tough enough time with a speed limit, as my family knows. You know, it's my speed limit, right? So you have to watch out for that. So they're trying to use, and they call it legalism. Have you ever heard a word of legalism where you have rules and you just add these rules? Well, the Jews were wonderful at adding rules. They added rule upon rule upon rule upon rule, and they just put such a burden on their people that I still remember one of our missionary colleagues, he was a Jewish, he lived in a Jewish part of the city because his family was Jewish, but they were Messianic Jews. And so that means they believed in Christ. But they'd be walking the streets on the Sabbath day, and the people would, some people would say, hey, they'd yell at them, hey, come here. Hey, can you help us open this door? We can't do it on the Sabbath. All right, so that's how legal things can get, all right? And then, of course, the other way, you go to license where everything is game. You know, you can do anything you want. But truthfully, there's that framework for Christians that we have, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, that we do, there are, there's a one very powerful rule that we have to follow. So all this to say, these false teachings want to move us into the shadows. This moralism, the same thing, pretty much like legalism. Moralism is more like for behavior. You know, how you behaving, what are you wearing today? No tie, Steve. Sorry, you must leave. All right, his behavior is not appropriate for our church. All right, that type of stuff, okay? Adding things, so humans love to add things. Why? Well, we'll look a little bit more at that too. As you read down a little bit further here, it says this, okay? It says, do not let anyone who delights in false humility, this is verse 18, and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes to great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the head. And the head is Christ in the church. All right? Christ is the head of the church, the body of the church. So these people, I don't know if you ever met them. I know I have. These people have wonderful words, and they're just, I know this. I've seen this. Oh, I had these visions of this. And they just talk and talk, and they're just going, oh, man, this guy is really spiritual. But then when you really think about it, wait a second, this guy is really puffed up. He's puffed up on himself. And he's really disconnected from the solid foundation, that truth, that reality of Christ. He's working in the shadows. He's living in the shadows. His spirituality is in the shadows. It's not based on the truth of who Christ is. And our society today wants us to move into the shadows more and more because they want us to come into their, they want to feel good about themselves, right? I mean, there's a verse here. I'm going to turn to verse 1 Timothy, chapter 4, and it's verses 1 to 4, and I'll just read that to you. So this is in 1 Timothy. It says this, the Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. See, now I don't know if the Christians in Colossae heard that from Paul yet or not, but that would be truly encouraging, very enlightening for them, as they are trying to resist, how to understand, you know, where are those shadows and how, you know, what are we against? and how we are to follow Christ. So eating and drinking, you know, oh man, what do I have to eat? What we got to do this again? We got to go back to the Old Testament? No. Paul's saying, no, don't go back. Stay right where you are and go forward with it. Stay in Christ. Stay solid in Christ. The fullness of who he is and his word. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says this. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. Again in Jeremiah, now this is back in the Old Testament, right? One of the prophets, he said this, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So when we have people in our lives trying to move us into the shadows, you can start seeing, you know, what is the motive of their hearts? And knowing that our hearts are deceptive above all else. There's no cure. Nobody understands. So the motives of man causes the church to falter. And I tell you something, you can go to many, many churches around this country, and you can sit as you're sitting and listen, and you might not even hear anything about Christ or what he's done or the gospel, the good news at all. They won't talk about the truth. They'll talk about good works, and they might, you know, things to encourage people to be good people, all right? Follow the rules. Be good people, please. Say hi to people. Wave at them when they go by, stuff like that. But they forget about we need power. We need power to transform our lives. And we need power. His word is that power that saves people. Without the word of Christ, nobody's being saved, sorry. It is by the word we hear and are believe and are saved. It's not by our good works, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not by your works. It's not by your works that you've been saved. It's not by your social standing. It's not by your good looks. It's not by the way you dress. It's not how nice you are. It's by Christ alone. That he died for us. He paid for our sins. See, exposing the shadows, that's what Christ does. Because his word shines so bright and perfect that it does not allow for shadows. It is perfect and is full. Just as Paul is writing that in Corinthians there, you know, just talking about the fullness of Christ. So how do we expose the shadows? Well, we can go back and look. He says, well, first of all, go back there in chapter 2, and we look at exposing, is that understanding that these shadows are really just forerunners pointing to the real object. Remember what a shadow is, where a light shines and hits the object, and it forms, you know, so wherever you are, you know, and how, whatever the angle of the light is and how bright it is or whatever, you know, just all that affects what the shadow will look like. You know, it can change shapes, as we know. But the most important thing is knowing that the object is a true object, and Christ is the true reality. Here, it says this, Christ is the reality. See, the shadow is pointing to the object, really, saying that's the reality. I'm just a shadow. These things that we did in the past, Old Testament, they were good back then, but they're just pointing to Christ, the real reality of it all here. So however, everything is found in Christ. The reality is found in Christ. And then it goes on there to, if you look back at chapter 2 there and verse 9, it says this. It says, for in Christ all, not part, not a little bit, all the fullness of the deity, and the deity is God the Father, right? The deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ. So in Christ, the deity lives in him fully, all There's a fullness there. There's no more. You can't add any more. You got your cup full. You try to add a little drop, it's just going to overflow, right? You can't fill it anymore. And we have that completeness in Christ ourselves. We don't lack anything, though we might think we do. And we know, we truly, I still remember in Thailand looking, watching, there's a sign in the back of these trucks that would water the flowers, and they were very slow. And they would have a little sign back there that just said something like, please forgive us for our slowness, for our, we're trying to work here type of thing, you know. For us, it's like, you know, forgive us, we're a work in progress. You know, please forgive us. We know we're being worked on. We're trying, but we're human just like you. We have completeness in Christ, even though sometimes it doesn't look like it, right? And some people say, well, really? Is Christ really God? Well, listen to this. Peter, as Jesus asked his disciples, and he says, well, what are people saying about me? And they're shooting off all these things. Oh, you might be Elijah, John the Baptist, or something like that. And Peter said, no. He said this. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are Christ, the Son of the living God. Elsewhere, as Jesus was talking to a lot of disciples, he must have had a big following at this point, and he was teaching them about who he is. And it was hard teaching for them. And a lot of them were saying, Jesus, we can't handle your reality. We need the shadows. You're just too much for us. And he turned to his 12 disciples and said, you're not going to leave me too, are you? And Peter, you know, this guy, he's always up there, isn't he? Speaking for all the rest. But he says this. He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Later on, a good friend of Jesus passed away, a guy named Lazarus, and he had other friends, Mary and Martha, and Mary came up to him and talking with him, and he told Mary, hey, I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? And she went, oh, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Another guy who said, no, after Jesus died, and the other disciples saying, hey, we saw Jesus, he died, he rose again, man. And Thomas go, no. No, not until I see it, feel his, you know, nails and all that, see, you touch him and all that stuff. No, doubting Thomas, do you know that? Doubting Thomas, but when Thomas met Jesus again in his resurrected body, Thomas said this. He says, my Lord and my God. That's who Jesus is. And then we must go on and acknowledge Christ's victories like this. As you look back at that, you know, we were dead. We were dead, not dead physically, but dead spiritually. The walking dead. But he made us alive with Christ. He made us alive with Christ. There it says there in verse 13. And he says this. He says, he forgave us all our sins. Not just a few. Not just a few that you did in the past and stuff of that. But all. He's talking past, future, and present, and future. You know, Christ, when he died, he just died once. He's not going to come back and die again. It's just once. He completed his work perfectly. The sins are gone. He washed them away. As far as the east is from the west, they're taken away from us. We don't have to worry about them anymore. I mean, we still have to deal with them. And I know I was talking with somebody the other day, and we say, man, when we received Christ, I wish he would have just made us perfect then. You know, so we didn't have this sinful nature anymore, but we do. We do have the sinful nature, and we still have to fight with it, but more and more we have to to follow Christ in the reality of who he is, even in our brokenness, even in our weakness. In our weakness, he will show himself strong and powerful. It's awesome. Just like the story of the chicken and the duck loves the water. He just going, he's happy playing around, stuff like that. And each time the chicken would come close, the duck would hit and spray him with a little bit of water, and a little droplet would hit the chicken. He'd start running away from the water, and then he would come back and just kind of go back and forth. You know, that water is kind of like the sin of our lives, you know, and all the shadows that try to move us away from Christ. And, you know, the duck is just happy playing along, but the chicken was interested, but each time a little drop came out, he just ran away again. You know, we need to be like the chickens. You know, we're going to be tempted, and there's going to be times in our lives that we're going to want to get into that water with that duck. But we need to remember who we're following and who purchased us with his very own blood, and that's Christ, and that will help us to turn and run from that sin. The sinful ways of this world, those shadows that try to move us away from the true reality of who Christ is and the victory that we have in him. Because he canceled a code, that written code said, you have to do it this way. You have to do it this way to get to God. But that code was written. That when you look at the Ten Commandments, those are written to show us that we are sinners and we need help. See, that's the bad news. And remember the bad news? We are sinners. You know, and in Thailand, they have a saying, you know, this person is running from the tiger, and then he goes down a ladder into a ravine where water is, and there's an alligator. So there's a tiger up here, and there's an alligator with his big mouth open down here, and he's on this ladder just hanging there. All his good works, all of his strength, all of his money doesn't save him now. He's in a bad predicament. See, Christ canceled that. He says, you know what? He flicks the alligator away and flicks the tiger away and says, come, you're with me. I've done it for you. You can't do it yourself. I did it for you. When I died for you. Every one of you, me, to save us. Save us from the shadows. And then listen to this. This is just such a powerful thing. You know, we always think, you know, we look at the cross, and I think a lot of people look at it going, oh, man. You know, it was a difficult time. Very, you know, the suffering of Christ is real. But I look at it a different way. Like what it says here, he took it away. Nailing it to the cross, those are all those written codes, right, that were opposed to us saying that you have fallen short of the glory of God, you're not good enough, and that's right, we're not. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them triumphing over them by the cross. He used the cross to defeat the enemy and all the shadowy works that he does to try to draw us to him, right? Christ said, no, I'm on a cross and I'm going to rise again. You know, death does not hold Christ. He rules even over death. The supreme victory is Christ, and we have that. So what are we supposed to do with all this? Well, we talked about that law. There's one law that we do have to follow as Christians. It's called the law of love, all right? If you look at Matthew 22:37, it says, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbors as yourself. That's the law of love. We are constrained in that framework. You want rules? Follow that rule, the law of love. And there's going to be some other rules maybe next week that we'll talk about too, but you don't have to follow these other rules that are not Christ-centered, that are just shadowed. They're just shadows on him. So what are we to do here when we walk with Christ? I'll go over a couple things. You can pick them out there. If you go to chapter 2 and you look at verse 6, it says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Continue your walk with him. Be in his word. Pray. Serve him. And that will expose that darkness, that those shadows in our lives will be exposed by the hope that we have in Christ as we learn more and more about him in his word, as we walk with him and serve others in his strength. It also says this, it says, be rooted and built up in him. And really, you know, what we're supposed to do here in the church is not just sit. We're supposed to encourage one another, pray for one another, disciple one another, mentor one another, receive and give. All that is how the body works and how it gets stronger, how it gets rooted and built up and gets strong so we can go and continue on in what God has each one for us to do in our jobs, our job place, in our schools, in our communities, wherever he sends us, where we are. We'll be girded up, we'll be rooted and built up in him more and more by his word through the encouragement of our brothers and sisters in Christ, through their teaching, through watching their lives, through prayer, all that. It's critical to the life of the church. Discipleship is something that has been dropped in the church. There's not a lot of that going on. And I'm not just talking about Bible studies, which are important, but actually involving ourselves, getting to know one another and walking with one another, meeting one another outside of the church. You know, sometimes it's a phone call or it's a text or whatever, or sometimes it's just in person, but to encourage one another, to hold one another accountable, to cheer one another on. You know, it's a tough life, right? It's a tough life. There's a lot of things coming at us. We need the support. That's what the church is. We are supporting and encouraging one another to go forth and to be strengthened in faith, as it here. You know, don't disqualify yourself. Here they say, oh, be careful not to be disqualified. Don't disqualify yourself, because I know that's what we do, because we like rules. Oh, I don't fit. I'm not there yet. Oh, I can't serve the Lord. Now, I tell you what, there would be only maybe 5 pastors around in this whole world, maybe, if you follow those structures that Paul has given. You know, those are the perfect standards that he gave about elders in the church. Those are perfect standards, and they're good. They're good to walk after, good to shoot for, and we must do that, and we trust the Holy Spirit's working on us to move towards that. But we are not there. There would be very, very few people that would be able to call themselves elders in church if they follow those rules specifically. You know, we are to go after it, but, you know, there are things, there are frameworks that we have to go by. But we have to be very careful not to disqualify ourselves from serving God. Because if you look at the history of the Bible, Moses was a killer. Abraham was a liar. King David was an adulterer. Paul was a persecutor. Peter was a betrayer. Look at their lives and how God used them. He can use us too, because we must go forth and serve him as he called us to do. And in our weaknesses, he will show himself strong, and he will guide us, and he will transform us as we serve. So don't disqualify yourself from serving God. Overflow with thankfulness that other people would be touched with the hope that we have in him. Pointing people to Christ. The true reality of what it is to follow Christ and how we are saved by him alone. Do you remember that ad? That Coke ad? You know, it's a real thing. Well, you know what? Christ, we are his ad. We go forth. We're his ads. Holding up the Instead of holding up the Coke bottle, we can hold up the Bible. We can hold the cross. But we can point people and just tell them, hey, he's the real thing. Can't get any better than him. Let's pray. Father God, again, we come before you humbly, just in awe of your word and who you are. Lord, we just praise you that you are so awesome, that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that we are part of your family and part of your church, and you have given us that mandate to go and love one another, to go and love others, and to love you, and to go forth and serve you. May we go forth in that power and the hope of Christ, not because we're deserving or anything great, but just because you told us to do it, to follow you in obedience. Give us the courage, the strength to go forth, to be these obedient people, to serve you, to share others with you, to share the real thing, the truth of Christ with others, and all you've done for us. We just rejoice and thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, and all those people say, amen.